You got a minute? Hey, just want to share something with you real quick. 6 weeks ago today, standing up here during first service, I just wasn't feeling quite right. And I thought, well, I don't know what that is. And so after first service, I went upstairs and two of our executive pastors came in. Hey, pastor, you need anything? And I said, hey, could you check the AC over the platform? I said, because I just didn't feel quite right. So I blamed it on the AC. I was wearing a watch that day that Alicia bought me that I really love. Probably 30 years ago, she bought it for me. I love to wear it, and it's a little more of a dressy watch. And when I got home, I switched into my Apple Watch, and I checked my BPM, so heart beats per minute, and they were crazy. It was just crazy. So I didn't tell anybody because I'm a man. But I was worried, and I prayed, and I worried, and I prayed, and then I wore my watch overnight, and I checked it, you know, and the next day I checked it, and I thought, I could be in some trouble here, and so I need to check this out. So I shared with Alicia, and then reached out to my doctor, who also happens to be one of my best friends, and so I was able to get in pretty quick, and check me out, and so I had something called a flutter. And so what it is, it's an electrical issue of the heart. Now, I'm very healthy, and I still am, very healthy. Alicia and I, we eat right. We're really good at rolling our cares and stresses. We have stresses, but we're good at rolling those over onto the Lord. For about 17 years now, two, three, four times a week, I'm in a gym with a trainer, and so we take good care of ourselves. I'm 98 years old, y'all. And I wouldn't mind making it though, but my doctor then sent me to a cardiologist. I had echocardiograms and CT scans and all those kind of things. And so I had this electrical issue in the heart, my heart otherwise very, very healthy. So then he sent me to a cardiac electrophysiologist. And I'm thankful for smart people. And so a week ago Thursday, I was in the hospital and had almost a 3-hour procedure. Where they did ablations on my heart. So it went in through arteries and then like cauterized parts of my heart where it was electrically misfiring and killing it. No, not killing it, scarring it. Scarring is better than killing. And it reset. And so I've just been kind of recovering. So I moved on Pastor John. I said, hey, you're a worship pastor. I need you to take. So he took last Sunday and just did a fabulous job. And then I've been recovering. My voice is a little bit scruffy because I had about 3 hours of a couple tubes down my throat and not all the way back yet on that. But I feel great, and the issue is resolved. My purpose in telling you is couple-fold. In our comings and goings, we ran across a lot of people, and I didn't want my story to get to you through other people. Pastor's heart blew up, and you know. And so didn't want that, so I wanted you to hear from me. The second thing, and this is the most important thing, and I joked about it earlier, I didn't tell anybody because I'm a man. Men tend to hide symptoms. And we have a very good friend. He doesn't live here, but I have a very good friend who, because of my little journey, actually went and got checked out, and he's actually going to have the same procedure done. And so I'm not trying to be dramatic here today, but you know, maybe we'll save somebody's life. Because here's the problem. If you ignore that, what would happen with the condition that I was dealing with, it actually can create some blood clots, and then they get pumped down and pumped out into the body, and you can have blood clots, you can stroke, you can even die. And so it's better to be fixed. And so I believe that all healing is from God. We prayed. I was well covered in prayer. Everybody that worked on me, I said, I've been praying for you. They did excellent job. But anyway, hold on. I just want you, and especially men, okay, don't just say, I'll be all right, because typically we act strong and we're not strong, we're afraid. And, you know, just go ahead and get the help that you need. We need you. We love you. There's people counting on you. And so don't just, well, I'll just toughen up, buck through, this will work out. If something's going on, go get that checked out. And of course, seek the Lord. But go get that checked out. There's so much great technology to just help and get fixed. Because 9 days ago, I was about this time, was just coming out of surgery, okay? And now I'm standing here and I feel great. And so, and I'm very, very thankful to be here today. Amen. All right. Well, why don't we get into the Word? How about that? Let's dive into God's Word today. We're in a series called All In. Everybody say All In. And we've looked at some disciplines and practices that I wanted you to become proficient in. First of all, we spent January, this is 4 months that almost that we're in all of this, January, prayer. February, we talked about the Word of God. This last month, March, we talked about worship. And today I want to talk to you about serving and how serving is kind of the outgrowth of all of that. Now, all of this would come under the banner or the header of discipleship. It's a big Bible word, but everybody say discipleship. And what it is, what a disciple is, I'm a follower of Jesus. Not just a fan, but a follower of Jesus. A dedicated, committed learner and follower of Jesus. And here's what happens. When we follow Jesus in that way, guess what? We become more and more like Jesus. How many of you know the world could use a lot more Jesus? You know? And the Christians, early Christians, when they were dubbed that name, Christians, it actually means little Christ. So they were like Jesus. They followed his teachings. They lived according to his values. And they carried the fruit of the Spirit. And we need that in our lives. We need to be those people. So that process of discipleship, it's not just what you do. It's what it produces. It's the steps on a path that takes you to a place. And so I wanted you to be able to say, hey, I can pray about that, instead of what the usual mindset is. And it's like, well, we got to find somebody that can pray. I'm not that good at praying. I'm not a person of prayer. But that you could become proficient in prayer, that you could become proficient in reading and understanding God's word, and that you would be a worshiper, not just somebody who comes to a worship service, but that you worship God. And you see his greatness, and out of your heart you worship God, not just with uplifted hands and songs, but how you live your life and how you do your job and how you interact with people. That's a way to live a worshipful life. And the end result of that is we become more and more like Jesus. Guess what else? We become more and more happy, stable, fruitful, and blessed. You know what the end result is? I become a better me. And when you and I become a better me, it's better for we. It really is. And so the better that we become, the more that Jesus is formed in us. Galatians 4:9, Paul says, I labor like a woman in childbirth until the life of Christ is formed in you. And that's the goal for us. And not just so that we get it together, my life is better, but that God can work through us in better and better ways. Can I get an amen? All right, let's look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Now, leave that verse up, if you will, and I've got it highlighted, but let me emphasize a few things for you. First of all, you accept, you receive Jesus. You get saved. You believe that he is who he says he is and does what he says he does, and you receive what he has done for you. You accept and you receive Jesus. That's the beginning place. And then you accept him not just as Savior, you accept him, as the scripture says here, as Lord. So Jesus is not an additive for your life. Jesus is not another subscription that you get, okay? He becomes the Lord. Do you know what Lord is? It's owner, ruler, master, boss. And you've never worked for somebody so good as the boss, Jesus. Amen. And then you continue to walk and live in him. Continue to follow him. It's not just a creed. It's not a hobby. It's not a seasonal thing. It is your lifestyle that you follow him in that way. And the Bible says as you're doing all of this, now you sink down roots in him. And as you get those roots down in this God-centered life, then faith springs up. You are built up in so many ways. And the scripture says you'll be established and strengthened. And when all of that happens now, do you know what happens? The very end there. Now you start to overflow with thankfulness. Say that with me. Overflow with thankfulness. And gratitude is the what? Does anybody remember? I'm hearing it. It's the secret sauce. Gratitude. That's where you want to get, where you're living a life, not where somebody's saying, tell me three things you're thankful for. Not somebody forcing you into it, but just you have an overflow because of all of those other things that are going on. The fruit of that, the process now brings you to a place where you're overflowing. The process leads to purpose, and the growth brings out the fruit that you would overflow with thankfulness. Now, this process of all in, of prayer, word, worship, and serving, all of that goes together. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible, and it says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, in the Greek, a masterpiece, a handiwork. You're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. Now watch carefully. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and here's the part I really wanted to get to. Read it with me. Ready to be used. Say it again. Ready to be used for what? For good works which God prepared for us beforehand. Again, the process leads to the purpose. The growth leads to the fruit. All of that goes together where you and I end up ready to be used for the good works that God would have for you and me to do. So my title for today is this: we are saved to serve. Come on, read it with me. We are saved to serve. Now he saved us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what does he save us from? He saves us from ourself. He saves us from sin. He saves us from the penalty of sin, the curse of sin. He saves us from hell. Y'all, I'm not just reading the encyclopedia up here. He saved us from sin, from self, from penalty, from curse, from hell. I'm thankful. He saved us, but he didn't save us just like, well, let's save it. My mom used to save any container. So Cool Whip, except we didn't buy Cool Whip. We bought the Winn-Dixie brand. And so that was our Tupperware. Pill bottles, anything. Mom just saved any containers. That's still in me at times. I'm throwing away, and I go, that's a perfectly good container there. But people collect things. How many of you collect some things? Thank you, several honest people. Look at some of the things people collect here. Cell phones, Coke cans, Pez dispensers. Now, I'm a little interested in that one. Go ahead to the next one. Coins, bowling balls. That guy has 6,500 bowling balls. And then if you got the cash, you can do like LeBron and you can collect cars, all right? And people save butterflies and stamps and coins and beanie babies. Remember, your beanie babies are going to be worth a lot of money one day. Just don't forget that. But God didn't save us as a collection. He didn't save us as a personal stash. He didn't save us like out of the mud and mire we were in and cleaned us up and go, oh, I like this one. I'm going to save this one. I'm going to keep this one and put it on a shelf. We are saved to serve. He saved us so that he can use us. He saved us. He cleaned us up. He fixed us up so that he can use us. And the end result of this is all of this process, it makes us better. It makes us stronger. And in Romans 15, verse 1 in the Message, look at this. Strength is for service, not status. One more time. Strength is for service, not status. This is not just like bodybuilding, okay? And no doubt those people are strong. But it's not just for show. I mean, for me to be a better me, for you to be a better you, for God to do that work and to produce us to a place where we're overflowing with thankfulness and we're ready to be used, there's a strength that gets established in us, and that strength is for service, not for status. And guess what? Serving, everybody say serving. Serving is where Christianity shows up. Serving is where faith shows up. Faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, James wrote, and he said this, "You say, I'll show you my faith without my works, but I tell you, I'll show you my faith by my works, because faith without works is dead." And so Christianity shows up, our faith shows up by serving. In John chapter 3, now I'm going to build a case here. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love." Come on, one more time. What? If you have love. If you have love for one another. Galatians 5, 6, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." There it is again. Galatians 5, 13, "Through love." Through love, what? Serve one another. See, this love, this agape love that flows from God, it's the impetus, it's the catalyst, it's the thing that gets it all going for serving. God's love for you. Do you know that God loves you? No, not like Sunday school or somebody just catches you, you know, at the bus stop or something. Did you know that God loves you? I mean, are you aware how much God loves you? And not only that he loves you, but he demonstrated that love. He demonstrated that love. Jesus came and was the vessel and the agent of that love and demonstrated that love. And then somewhere along the way, you accepted that love. You received that love. What all's in that love? Forgiveness? Patience? Has God been patient with you? I might look like I got it all together, or maybe not. I don't know. But God is so patient with me. And he's so kind to us. Is he kind to you? Is he good to you and you don't deserve it? Come on, is anybody here for this? I mean, he's just so good to us. He's rescued us. He's protected us. He's provided for us. He's set us free. He helps us so many ways. And he said, "And I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." He loves us. He loves us. He restores us. He justifies us. He said, "I know you messed up, but I look at you through the blood of Jesus just as if you never sinned." He said in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "And I'm not even going to bring it up again. I'm not going to bring your past sins back to my mind, and I'm not going to bring them up again." He quiets us with his love. He loves us. He loves you. And that love is the impetus. It is that love. Love somehow got to us, and that love is in us, and that love propels us to serve. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and go ahead and read this with me. We love him because he first loved us. I'll read it one more time. We love him because he first loved us. That's totally accurate. That's the New King James Version. It is totally supported in the New Testament Greek language. But most of the scholarly, respected New Testament translations are going to omit one word here. And so let's just use, for example, the English Standard Version. Let's go ahead and read it from the English Standard. Come on, read it with me. We love because first loved us. What got dropped? Him. Is it still true that we love him because he first loved us? And you need to know this. You love him. You know why you love him? Because you're so spiritual and got it together and you know, I think these things through. Why do you love him? Because he first loved you. He's, He's the source. He's the fountainhead of that love. He loves you. That's why I love God. That's why you love God. And as I said, that love was demonstrated. But further than that, we love, period, because he first loved us. God's the one who injected love into all of this. Now, sin is not the theme of the Bible. Sin is the problem. Love is the theme. And the expression of the love to deal with the problem is forgiveness and redemption and restoration. So out of God's love, forgiveness is the theme. And out of that forgiveness, he saves us. And we are saved to, there you go, we are saved to serve. His mercy, his grace, his undeserved kindness and goodness, all flowing from God's love for us. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus tells a parable to a Pharisee, an overly religious guy who has no joy. And he tells a story of two debtors. And he said a money lender lent one guy 500 silver coins and another guy 50 silver coins. And as time went on, neither one of them could repay. And the money lender decided to do this. He forgave the debt. He said, so one he forgave a lot, and one he forgave a little by comparison. He said, which one loved him the most? And the Pharisee answered, the obvious answer, the one who was forgiven more, loved more. The one who was forgiven little, loves little. Well, I ask you, have you been forgiven of little? Or have you been forgiven of much? Of much. And so what do? We love more. We've been forgiven more. We love more. Go ahead and put it on the screen here. There it is. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. And how do we express that love? Love, it's gratitude. It's gratitude. And love serves. Love serves. Now, the depth of awareness, don't miss this. The depth of the awareness of how good and kind God has been to you. Are y'all with me? The depth of your awareness, that's the thing, of how good and kind God has been to you determines the depth of the love and gratitude you have back toward God. Hear it again. The depth of your awareness of how good and kind God has been to you determines the depth of the gratitude and love that you have back toward God. And so I think the healthiest that you and I can be is to have deep love and gratitude to God. And the way to deepen that, enrichen that, is to become more and more aware. And I know that the process of all in, of spending time in prayer, spending time in God's word, spending time worshiping him, is only going to increase our awareness of God's love and kindness and goodness to us, which is only going to increase our love and our gratitude back toward God. If that made sense to you, say amen. Amen. So do you know? Do you have that awareness? And I don't want to cartoonize this. I used this illustration a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to add a picture to it. Go ahead and bring this up, if you will. It's just this awareness. You have saved our lives. We are what? I was hoping you'd use the voice.
We are eternally grateful.
There you go. Right. And I'm not trying to be cutesy with it all, but I'm telling you, you got to get this concept. He saved us, y'all. He saved us. And we should be eternally, eternally grateful. Somebody get that for me, please. Now, the all-in process helps us to become more and more aware of this. And I want to challenge you. That's what you need to do, is spend time thinking about, acknowledging just how good and kind, how patient, how good God is to you. Because when you're forgiven much, you love much. You're forgiven much, you love much. And if you'll recall earlier from Galatians 5:6, and love does what? It serves. It serves. Forgiven much, loves much, serves. The motivation, the impetus for us to serve comes out of that love back to God in his goodness into our life. So it's a gratitude to God. That's what it is. This love is a gratitude. So when we serve, and y'all stay with me on this, when we serve, we're not trying to repay God. How many of you could never repay God? And we're not working off a penalty. This is not penance somehow. This is just gratitude. Gratitude that you use your life to serve the Lord. Now, when we serve, it looks like we're serving people, okay? Because that's who's around us. It looks like we're serving people, but we're serving the Lord. So whenever you're helping anybody, whenever, whatever setting you're in that you're serving, it looks like you're serving people. Like right now, it looks like maybe I'm serving you. I'm serving the Lord and I'm serving you. It all goes together. Are you hearing me? Whatever your job is, wherever you are, whatever setting you're in, as you're serving the Lord, he's going to have you serve people. It's going to look like you're serving people, but out of a heart of gratitude, it actually goes back, God, you've been so good to me. What do you want me to do? And go and use that for his honor and for his glory. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23 and 24, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance for, come on, help me, for you serve the Lord Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So it's going to look like we're serving people. And yeah, we are. But ultimately, you're serving the Lord. So let's talk about serving just for a moment. Where do we serve? Where do we serve? I'm hearing it. Everywhere. It's just everywhere. Everywhere you go, you should serve. Everywhere. Come on, say it again, everywhere. Listen, God has given you gifts, and we're going to talk more about that next week. And God has given you connections. And God has given you relationships and platforms. You're on a path in your life. You work at a certain place. You live at a certain place. You shop at certain places. You work out. You whatever. If you don't work out, you need to start working out. And wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you know, that's where you are. And that's your everywhere. And you need to serve at home. No, I got to let my hair down somewhere. No, you don't. Go for a long walk. Let your hair down. But you need to serve. And I don't care how long you've been married. Serve one another. Are you hearing me? Serve one another. And men, it's a Bible command for us. Husbands, love your wives and serve them like Christ loves and serves the church. Make it good for her. Make life good for her. Lift burdens off her. Help her. Are y'all hearing me? And wherever you are, at work, don't just do your job. I'm here. Don't just do your job. You're serving the Lord. Serve the Lord there. Ask and pray every day. Lord, give me an opportunity today, you know, to hold a door, maybe at the store for somebody, or help somebody, or you know, there's going to be a million different ways. And Lord, help me today to not miss opportunities to serve and to help. And here's one, church. Serve at church. Thank you for one amen. Church is a ready-made place. It's one of the best training grounds. It's one of the most efficient and fruitful places you can serve. And you need to serve. And we have hundreds of people that serve every service. So grateful for that. But it's not just about we need volunteers. No, no. Jesus is not recruiting volunteers. Jesus just wants his kids that are grateful to say, I love you so much, Lord, I'll serve. And it shows up at church. Now listen to me real quick. Older generations grew up and were trained to serve and sacrifice. It was in our culture. It's just the way we were raised. Younger generations are being raised in different ways, and they have to be called to service and called to sacrifice. And Meadowbrook Church will celebrate in August 36 years as a church, and God has blessed us. God has blessed us that we're a multicultural, multi-generational church. And as time goes on, we've got to be careful that it's not just those who already know how to sacrifice and serve, but that the face of the church is multicultural and the face of the church is multi-generational. And it's not just for the face of the church. It's not just to cover all the areas. It is for the joy and the reward that every one of you will have as you do it. So I'm calling everybody, find your way. That's why we want you to go through Growth Track. That's why I want you to thank workers, parkers, and so forth, you know, and realize, you know, this is because you love God. Listen, like I said, Jesus is not, it's not about recruiting. This is about reminding you of how good God has been to you. Jesus is not, he's not asking for volunteers. He said, where are my kids that are just grateful and say, hey, where do you need me? You know, if somebody had done for you in earth any kind of equivalent to what God has done for you for all of eternity, you'd say, what do you need? What can I do for you? And you would joyfully serve. And so I want you to pray about that, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to find your way, if you haven't already been, to get through Growth Track and find, Lord, where is it that you would serve? Where are you to serve? You're to serve everywhere, all through your life. I am a servant. I'm a follower of Jesus. And so wherever you go, make sure that you're serving him. He'll show you how to do it. It's a million practical ways to do it. Looks like we're serving people, but we're actually serving the Lord. Let me give you at least two reasons why people don't serve in life. Number one, I'm not good enough. I don't have anything. Or number two, I'm too good. Well, Scripture warns us against both of those. Some people just want to be served and not serve. Scripture warns us against both, that you would think too low of yourself or you'd think too high of yourself. Here's the reality. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's nobody that hadn't messed up. Nobody. But God wants to use you. And where does it flow from? Love flows from gratitude of how good God has been to you. And so don't think too highly. Don't think too low of yourself. Dr. Phil, how many of you know who Dr. Phil is? On TV. Clinical psychologist. For years, until his career took him to a place where he just could not. Dr. Phil was on the parking team. He was a parker at his church in Grapevine, Texas, for years and years and years. And you say, well, I'm too busy, I'm too there. Now, Dr. Phil helped people get in their parking spots at church. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he said this, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. And then Jesus himself, in John chapter 21, a resurrected Jesus, after he's resurrected from the dead, just saved all of mankind, cooks breakfast for his disciples on the beach. I'm saying, even there, Jesus, our Savior, was also servant of all. Listen, we're saved to serve. We've been forgiven much. We love much. God's been so good to you. And the more you become aware of his goodness in your life, love and gratitude are going to rise. And I'm telling you what, you'll overflow with thankfulness and you'll start to want to serve wherever you are. It'll be just a natural thing. Amen. We're saved to serve. Did you get anything at all out of this today? I pray so.